Welcome to Georgia Focus. I'm John Clark on the Georgia News Network. The Georgia Department of Transportation has pushed back construction of some of Metro Atlanta's toll lanes while accelerating road projects elsewhere. It's a major reshuffling of the timeline of the 10-year road building program unveiled by then-Governor Nathan Deal in 2016. And today we're going to be talking about that and some other issues associated with the Georgia Department of Transportation. Our guest is Tim Matthews. He is a program manager for the Major Mobility Investment Program for the Georgia DOT. Tim, good to have you in here today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we talk about the traffic a lot. No matter if you live in Atlanta like we do or if you're coming in to Atlanta, traveling from anywhere else in Georgia, traffic is certainly an issue, and you guys do a great job of keeping it rolling. First, what is the Major Mobility Investment Program?
Well, the Major Mobility Investment Program is a program set forth to help manage and mitigate one of our biggest problems in Georgia, and that's congestion. Mm. We're unfortunately ranked in the top five throughout the nation when it comes to most congested corridors on our roadways, and we're trying to do something about that. As you mentioned, Governor Deal advanced the program back in 2016, and we're moving this program forward with that in mind. Let's move the needle when it comes to managing mobility and congestion in our most congested corridors.
Right.
So that's the main focus behind that. There's also, you know, behind it, we've got a lot of freight corridors that are tied to the Major Mobility Investment Program. And as we deepen the harbor down in Savannah, there's a huge need to make sure that that freight can get out of the port and go to the destinations throughout the state, not just in the Metro Atlanta area. And some of these projects are going to help take care of that.
Great. Well, I know, you know, everybody expects it to be done overnight. It takes a long time, as we know here in Atlanta, when we see certain projects. So I know that you've had to push back some construction on some of the toll lanes. People not being here in Atlanta maybe not be familiar with the toll lanes. Just describe what those are briefly.
Well, the toll lanes, as you mentioned, are really express lanes, yeah. And it's our way to manage congestion throughout our most congested corridors. We often, in the past, have widened roadways, just added capacity, added a lane out there to help, you know, solve that problem. But we're finding that with the unprecedented growth in the metro region and the state as a whole, widening roadways just may not be the answer. Now, express lanes aren't the answer to every solution, but in the metro area, we're finding that that's the best way to manage congestion. You're actually giving folks a choice who want to get in that system to get a reliable trip time and speeds, the availability to do that. If you widen, you're not going to give them that choice.
So by doing that, of course, you pay. You go online and you pay, and then you're able to get in that lane, and then it depends on how far you're going as to how much the toll is on the road.
That's correct. It's managed by the State Road and Tollway Authority as it relates to the toll operations, and you have to have a Peach Pass to get into the lanes,
right.
And it's all electronically driven. And like you said, it depends on the access at which you're entering or exiting will be the toll rate that you have to pay.
Right. And is that what we're talking about on the new toll roads you're talking about, that you've kind of had to hold off on a little bit in favor of other projects? Is it the same type of roads that you're going to be doing more of those?
Well, just to break a little confusion on, you know, delaying projects or delaying this program, the program as a whole is remaining the same. We're not changing the grand scope of the program. We still have express lanes. We still have operational improvement projects, widening of interstates, and some other things. What we had to do after talking with the industry is they said, guys, this program is too big to deliver all at once, overlapping one another. So listened to the industry, went back and said, how can we massage this program from a schedule perspective to help mitigate that concern? So we actually advanced a couple of projects, and we shifted some out a little bit by a year or so to manage the expectation of the industry and what they're able to deliver in that regard. And some of the projects that were brought forward that are smaller scale were going to be built in the bigger project anyway.
Okay.
So it was just a matter of getting those done, high-risk items when it comes to construction for design build, to get them out and get it for the industry to react to.
What goes into when you determine that you need to hold off on some projects and move forward on others? Is it just the large scale of them all at one time causes issues, or a manpower issue? What determines some of those things?
I think all of those things you mentioned really are tied into the equation when it comes to managing schedules for these mega projects and the program of this magnitude. You've got, if you look long term, this is an $11 billion program, number one, not million, billion dollar program. So it has a huge impact on the industry, and the industry meaning the resources that are out there in the industry, as well as materials. You know, when you put a scale of projects that we're putting out there, the folks have to deliver both from material and resource perspective. So We've asked the industry what they thought about it, the timeline, and we made some changes based on what they've told us in that regard.
Right. You know, you think about that at the, when you finish this, it'll be time to do something else. Really, we don't know. We have more people here. I don't know if we can take them or not, but it'll be time to do more things, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you've seen, as I mentioned earlier, the growth in Georgia is unprecedented. And we just heard recently that over the next 20 years, we're going to increase that population by another 2 million people. And it's a great thing from an economic development perspective to have that growth. But what comes with that is congestion because you got more vehicles and more people coming here. So our job with the Georgia DOT, as well as local municipalities and other stakeholders, is to try to mitigate and manage those congestion problems and build a network that, you know, can only build so far out. We generally look a design year 20 years out and then reassess at that time based on the future needs.
And with that growth, and you can see it driving around, you can only go so wide on the roads before you bump into buildings. You can only go so wide, so you have to come up with other ways to use the room you have.
Oh, that's exactly right. And when you talk about where these bigger projects are in the metro area, with the express lanes, you know, it's an already very densely populated corridor on 285. You got, as you mentioned, residential, commercial development, and not just small units. Fortune 500 companies are moving here, which is a great thing, as I mentioned earlier, but it really limits our ability to expand. So what we're trying to do is bring an innovative solution and approach with express lanes and other means to try to mitigate that concern. Our goal is to first avoid impacts if we can and minimize and then mitigate otherwise.
Let's talk specifically then about some of the things you're doing and some of the projects you're accelerating while you're moving slower on others. What are some of these projects?
Well, some of the projects we're accelerating that were part of the bigger project are some high-risk elements. Mm-hmm. And one of those elements, when anytime you have to deal with a major utility like a railroad, CSX, Norfolk Southern, there's a lot of requirements you got to adhere to, and it takes a lot of time to make sure that we meet the requirements on both sides. So that presents a schedule risk. When you have a $1 billion project under construction, schedule means a lot because these are finance jobs, and anytime you delay these projects, finance costs goes up when you delay them. So if we can minimize and mitigate some of these risks up front, we believe there's a huge savings, not just money-wise, but time-wise on the back end as well.
I guess some of those are on the north end of the perimeter, on the upper arc of the perimeter. Some of them come to mind, especially around the area we call Pill Hill and where Northside Hospital and Children's and all are. A lot of people go to those hospitals. And then another is the New Georgia 400 interchanges. Can you speak to those a little more specifically?
Sure. Well, the interchange itself has a project going on. As you, if you've driven through that corridor, you see a lot of construction happening, a lot of bridge work, which is not an MMIP project, just to be clear. But we are advancing two projects on the east and west side of that particular project. And we're adding what's already being built under the 285-400 interchange is a CD system, or collector distributor road system, expanding that out on the east side, and we're building some aux lane, expanding what's out there, are going to be built under that project to the west side. So those are two projects that we're advancing because we believe not only from a risk perspective during the construction of the larger project, it brings an immediate operational improvement to the corridor today. So we think it's a great thing because these are big projects, going to take a lot of time to get them built.
And that area does get really congested every day. It's congested right now, I know, but every day. But you know what? I will say this. They're doing a great job of moving traffic through there. I drive through there a good bit, and the delays are not that terrible, but not unreasonably. You know, it's basically the same all the time, but it's not that bad. They're doing a great job of getting people through there, I think.
I think that's exactly right, and we're hearing from folks that, well, we didn't think it was going to be this good. If it's already congested, how worse can it get?
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you have a major construction operation where you're having the close lanes, build bridges, you're going to have some impact there. But we've heard positive things so far with regards to that maintenance of traffic.
And you can see, I mean, of course, there was a need for those. To someone who lives here who knows, and you can see that it's going to be much better once it's done. You can really see that. It's going to open things up a lot, too.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, that project's not in the Major Mobility Investment Program, but it did come out of the top-end express lane project of 285. That project was a former project of what was called Revive 285 in the past. We advanced that project similar to some of these other projects we're advancing because we thought it was a benefit today that we can get done. So it was a part of the bigger project, but it's being built in advance.
What about 400? I know there's work going on up there, too. Can you speak to that some?
Well, what you see on 400 directly adjacent to the interchange itself is a part of the interchange project. So they're building collector distributor lanes all the way up to Spalding Drive to the north on 400. And then we're obviously going to bring express lanes through that interchange and up State Route 400 all the way to north of McFarland Parkway.
Okay. Today we are talking about some of the projects of the DOT as part of their Major Mobility Investment Program. The program manager for that program is Tim Matthews from the Georgia Department of Transportation, and he joins us today. Tim, let's dive a little deeper into the Major Mobility Investment Program. We touched on it a moment ago, but some interesting aspects of that. You mentioned the ports. As we deepen the ports and expand that, it's going to put more trucks on the road probably. So talk about that and some of the other aspects of it.
Well, you know, the deepening of the harbor is going to advance the state of Georgia from an economic development perspective and a freight perspective, because we are going to be able to bring more freight or more items from the from overseas. So in that regard, we have to do something about, you know, the inlet and outlet roadways to and from the port. So we've got a project down in Savannah called I-95 Interchange Project, where we're redoing that interchange, putting in new loop ramps and other things. And we're also widening I-16 from the interchange at 95 all the way to in downtown Savannah for that purpose. So we believe there's a need based on that project to advance through MMIP a better corridor for that freight to move through.
Yeah, and what, I mean, you widen it, you'll widen it. How far will you widen 16?
To 516.
To 516.
I-516.
Okay, yeah. That whole area. And then you go on to Macon. Now, I know you're not directly involved with the interchange at 75 and 16 in Macon, but that's got to help, too. That's been long overdue, and that came through there a couple of weeks ago, and they're making some progress on that, and it's getting a lot better.
It absolutely is. I think, you know, I-16 is a great corridor from a freight perspective because there's plenty of capacity. But once you get to that point at 75, it has been a real pinch point.
Yeah.
And so through a series of other projects, we're advancing that work to make sure that we accommodate, you know, that area from when the freight does come through. They're not going to be bottlenecked at that point.
Right. What are some of the other ripple effects of the Major Mobility Investment Program, just that of some of the changes you're making now? And are there some other areas? Obviously, it'll cut down on traffic and allow us to move around. But what are some of the other major ripple effects in that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, whenever you can manage and mitigate congestion, which is the number one issue we have here in the metro area, it's going to provide a huge benefit otherwise. Economic development is one of those. But we're also improving outside of express lanes. We're doing some improvements on our other freight network areas, one being I-85 widening and up north of I-85 from about I-985 all the way up in that corridor. That project phase one is almost done, to be honest with you. It's about a little over halfway done. Oh, should open to traffic early next year. Phase two is being advanced, taking advantage of that opportunity to move that project forward. And we're also improving two heavily congested interchanges, major interchanges on both the east and west side of 285 and I-20.
Okay.
We did some improvements a few years back on the east side, added some CD lanes in that corridor, but we're going to come in and do a major rehab or reconstruction of these two interchanges like we're doing on 285-400 to help move that traffic through those interchanges a little bit better.
Because those back up a pretty good bit, too.
They sure do, for lots of reasons. Yeah. You know, these projects were built many, many years ago when the traffic was a lot less, number one, and, you know, design was a little bit different. So looking at our current requirements for design, looking at the number of traffic that is out there, we need to do something different. And if you look on the west side, one of the major issues is grades. You know, trucks use those corridors, and when you're coming from 285 to go out I-20 west, you got to go uphill.
Okay.
And trucks going uphill aren't going to go fast uphill.
True.
So we're looking at making some improvements in that regard as well, not just new ramps, but other things like that.
I'm glad you're making the improvements on the 85 corridor, expanding that. I drive that every day. And so I'm glad to see that. And it's making a difference, too, on up. And even, I mean, you know, even beyond up towards Braselton and on up that way, as it's widening more and more, and I've seen that progress, and that's really helped congestion quite a bit, because that two lane traffic two lanes up there can really get clogged sometimes.
Absolutely. Once you leave the metro proper area and the express lanes in, you drop back down to the two lanes that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it was a bottleneck there almost every day. So we've expanded that. We've added that additional lane in that corridor, which has, we've heard, has helped tremendously.
Yeah.
The idea is to go all the way to the South Carolina line.
Okay.
But what we're doing on this program doesn't, unfortunately, go that far. But we recognize that improvement is needed, not just from a standard pedestrian car using that facility, but it's a huge freight corridor for us as well.
Sure. And I'm glad you said eventually to the South Carolina line, because when you cross the line coming back toward Atlanta, even on Sunday afternoon, it starts slowing down. And you're like, wow, why is it slowing down?
So, absolutely. And I think South Carolina has taken steps to improve their corridor as well. So we want to make sure we're consistent with what's happening on the entire corridor, not just this section.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we talk about traffic in Atlanta, and everybody talks about traffic in Atlanta, but it impacts everybody in Georgia. Because people in Georgia, they come up there. They're going to come to Northside Hospital and to doctors and medical facilities up there. They're going to go to the Braves game. They're going to come through, head up towards South Carolina. So these are things you need to know no matter where you are in Georgia. It's going to impact you, you know, no question.
Absolutely. And that's why we're doing it. You know, we don't do these projects just because they're fun to do. They're needed, and we believe it's really going to move the needle when it comes to mobility and congestion in this region.
Yeah. Again, we're talking with Tim Matthews. He's a project manager for the Major Mobility Investment Program for the Georgia Department of Transportation, getting some really interesting information about some of the things that that they're doing. Another issue is safety on the roads. Obviously, with all this, you know, the men and women out there working hard need to be safe. And I know that DOT has some programs for that as well. That's a major issue for what you're doing, and a major focus of you as well, right?
Well, absolutely. Safety is our number one priority, not only when we're building projects, but when we're maintaining and operating these facilities as well. So we take that very seriously. We have a lot of programs out there to help from a safety perspective. You know, of our hero units, those are out there on a day-to-day basis. We've recently implemented a what we call CHAMPS, which is a more rural system out there, similar to the hero, only a little bit smaller scale. But we take that very seriously, and as we implement these projects, that's our number one goal, is to make sure we put safety first.
Yeah, people want to get through those sites. It is frustrating. It is very frustrating, but be patient. And you mentioned the hero units. They truly are heroes. Those guys are something else. They really are. We featured them on this show earlier in the year, and it's remarkable what they do, but they keep the roads clear. You know, that's their main thing. They got to keep the roads clear, and they do a great job of that, of clearing it up.
They really do, not only keeping the roads clear from an incident perspective, but also just, you know, someone running out of gas or having an issue on the side of the road based on a car issue. So they respond quickly, and they do a really good job to help make sure the roadways remain safe on a day-to-day basis.
And I'm seeing those CHAMP units out, too. I'm glad they expanded that. I don't know if people know about the CHAMPs as much as the heroes, though, but that's what we're getting the word out here today about it, I guess. But yeah, those CHAMP units are great, too.
They are. And again, they're really dispersed on our more rural roadways. You see them on I-16, of course, and I-85 on the northern sections and some of our other interstates. But they really help manage those facilities for the same way our hero units do. So they do a good job out there as well.
Yeah. Do you see any of the improvements, and I'm bouncing around a little bit here, but do you see any improvements that you're making, like you mentioned down in Savannah and all, diverting any, taking some traffic away from Atlanta, like some freight traffic and things like that, and taking them in other directions? Will that do anything to alleviate it from that standpoint?
I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the network of what the freight corridors are, you know, it's out of Savannah, you got 95, you got I-16, you've got 75, and then all the way through Atlanta, which is a major hub when it comes to, you know, port traffic. And you have a lot of distribution areas in and around Henry County.
Sure.
And then you go up 85 and 75 accordingly. So we don't see a major change there, which is why we're investing in these corridors, because they're crucial when it comes to future economic growth in the state of Georgia.
And mentioning like down in Henry County and all that, putting those lanes in down there seems to have helped too. Coming up that way, I have sat on that interstate many times. That's a parking lot. I haven't had that happen as much lately. So you have to be seeing success down there too.
We are, and that project is a reversible express lane system. Mm-hmm. So depending on which direction you're traveling, you may or may not be able to use the system. But we've been in the direction of the express lane travel. It's very successful in that regard. On Northwest Corridor, we just opened last year on 75 I-575, another reversible system up there. Tremendous success when it comes to that facility. Just within the first year, we've reduced rush hour more than an hour. Both morning and afternoon. And when I say rush hour, you think an hour. Rush hour for metro area is about 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
So anytime you can reduce congestion that much, it's a huge win for the region.
Yeah, rush hour's expanded quite a bit around here now. It's always busy, but it's really busy at certain times.
Absolutely.
So. Everybody wants to know how to pay for it, of course, and you mentioned the cost of the project. Can you talk about that again, the cost of it and how it's all being metered out and paid for over the years?
Sure. Well, the program is made up of several categories of project and scale. So we're using different types of methodologies to help deliver this program. Some were similar to, you know, you're purchasing something, you'd have to have the money up front to purchase that. Some are if you have tie it to a vehicle where you have to pay that back over several years. We've got projects of that size. And then we've got projects that you can relate to a mortgage payment where you have to pay those back over a 30-35 year period. Okay. So it depends on the project in the program and the scale. The mega projects in the program, those are your 30-35 year payback period. And we're using all types of sources to pay these. We're using federal money, state money, toll revenues as they come in, and other types of funding. So it's not just one source trying to pay for those. And it's an $11 billion program, so we've got to use all availability out
there. Absolutely. It costs money to build those. These are you just don't put these up. It costs a lot of money to do these.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it does pay for itself when you look at it because of the freight moving back and forth, creating jobs, building businesses, getting us to and from places, no matter what business you're in. It will definitely pay for itself in the long run.
Absolutely. And when you talk about congestion and people sitting in their vehicles, time costs money. And a lot of people don't see that just sitting in a vehicle. This program, just through the various studies, you know, we believe we can save about $3.28 billion just as you relate time to money just by this program alone. And for every dollar we spend, we get a return on investment of about $1.10. So a huge return on investment for this program alone. And remember, we're doing other projects in the state as well. It's not just this program.
Yeah, you're covering everything in the state. Extra half hour to get to work is not fun. And getting that half hour back and having a little time to get in there and make a meeting or not to worry about, that's worth a lot. And that's a return on investment. They always say your time is worth something. And it is. It really is in these cases.
It sure is. And just to give you a quick stat on the Northwest Corridor, we've heard from users themselves via social media and directly otherwise that they're saving, you know, anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes in their commute times, both morning and afternoon. So a huge UN for that corridor. And we believe those results are going to prove itself out with the rest of the program as well.
Anything else people need to know around the state about the Major Mobility Investment Program that you want to make sure we talk about? I want to make sure we cover everything.
Sure. I think something that gets lost in the program itself is people think of express lanes only. They don't think of what else we're doing. As I mentioned in the show earlier, you know, we're doing more than just express lanes. Yeah. We're doing some other things as well. But also, there's a huge transit benefit when it comes to express lanes. Right now, transit service providers like a Cobb Link or a Greta Bus Service and Gwinnett Service really don't have routes that serve a lot of areas because they don't want to sit in congestion. It's not a reliable system.
Right.
So they're able to get into express lanes for free, the transit service provider. You still have to pay as a person to get into their service, but they don't have to pay a second time to get in. So we believe our express lanes by that avenue are going to be able to expand their services where they can't go today because of that congestion issue.
And then thus get more people, of course, off the road. And that you know, it's what it's all about. And, you know, hopefully our transit systems, you know, that's a whole nother thing we could talk about, but it's so important that those be expanded over the coming years, too. That's going to be very vital as well.
And we are working with MARTA on the State Route 400 corridor. corridor to help bring a bus rapid transit system on that corridor as well. Yeah. Now, MARTA is the actual person or unit that's going to build the transit system, but we're building the express lanes to not preclude that effort in the future.
Yeah. Well, Tim, where can people go and find out more information about what we're talking about today? And, of course, I want to mention, too, you can always find it. Was it 511? You can call for traffic information anywhere in the state of Georgia. But where can people find out about your projects?
Sure. Well, all of this information that I've talked about today is on our website. You can find it at Georgia DOT's website. It's dot.ga.gov/MMIP is the program as a whole. And then from there, you can find any given project information. And it's updated constantly as we continue to coordinate and work with all the local jurisdictions and communities out there. We want to make sure that everyone is informed because this is a big program for the region, but it's important that we implement this program because it's really going to move the needle when it comes to the region's problems of congestion.
Well, the only thing consistent is change, and there's always a lot of change in our roadways, and it is certainly a necessary change, as you have outlined for us today. Tim, thank you so much for coming and talking about this. Very important topics we need to know about.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Today we've been talking with Tim Matthews. He's a program manager for the Major Mobility Investment Program for the Georgia Department of Transportation. He's been telling us about some of the projects, some things they're accelerating, and then some other projects they're having to push back on a little bit, all designed to make our roads get us around better and make things safer and just help us out all the way around, which we need help with traffic in the state of Georgia. We can all agree on that. So we thank Tim for being our guest today, and of course, thank you for listening. And if you have questions or comments about today's show, you can email me, johnclark@thegeorgianewsnetwork.com, or you can also follow us on Twitter @GA News Network. I'll talk to you next week here on Georgia Focus.